Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Greetings to you. I am Ava Muhammad. Welcome to a special 2-hour edition of Elevated Places. We are live on blogtalkradio.com, and we are streaming live on KBOL 100.1 FM, the People's Station, in Waterloo, Iowa, with a listening audience of 100,000. Our thanks to Brother Michael Muhammad for bringing Elevated Places to his audience. Please note that Brother Michael also airs the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's series, The Time and What Must Be Done, every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern. Brother Michael also hosts his own show, Torchlight, every Friday at 11:30 a.m. Central, 12:30 Eastern. And check out that station on kbolradio.com. Elevated Places is a forum where we engage in open and intelligent discussion. We are centering our conversation around freedom, justice, and equality, including economic independence and self-determination for the 40-plus million descendants of slaves here in North America. We invite any and everyone who logs in or listens in to participate in our bright and energizing conversation. So again, call us, 347-324-5091. And please remember to visit avaspeaks.com for my books and lectures, the recent as well as the vintage ones, such as The Science of Light, Color, and the Mothership. Of course, it is always a joy to be with you again on Elevated Places. And Elevated Places would not be the rising success that it is without our team. And one of the brightest stars on Elevated Places is my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Walaikum salam. It is going to be a wonderful evening.
Oh, this is absolutely going to be talked about for a long, long time.
Oh, yes, it is.
Special edition. Yes, sir. And before we move to our subject tonight, give us a little insight, Brother Terrence, into what is going on currently.
Well, you know, we have a lot going on. So, number one, we do know that Obama released his budget today for the United States, so there's a lot of things that will be picked over in the next couple of days over this release of his budget. There's also, in the wake of these whole issues of gay marriages, someone is reportedly gay in the NFL, as Magic Johnson's son came out last week, as it was told. These are some of the current headlines in the news. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing tonight was a God-sent message and show. We couldn't have planned none of this, and we know that Allah is the best of planners. So in the wake of talks of immigration reform and gun control, which is a funny issue where this whole criminal background check, mass killings were not done with by people that had criminal backgrounds. They were done with people that had clean records, which is an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
But in the midst of all this conversation, here comes hip-hop guru, mogul, Jay-Z and his wife, Beyoncé.
Please.
And why was all of Congress today and why was all of CNN listening to Jay-Z's new song talking about his trip to Cuba? So this has now, you know, gotten everybody listening to the lyrics of Jay-Z's songs about his now proven authorized trip to Cuba, but it's so big that it's now in the news with Jay-Z and they follow him in Cuba. But also, it's also interesting in the wake of what controversy came around Lil Wayne and his comments about Emmett Till, that we now see a result in the same thing with the rapper Rick Ross, not the real Rick Ross, but Rick Ross the rapper, who had a line about date rape where he put a drug called Molly in a girl's drink. She didn't know it. He had sex with her, and she didn't know it. And he put this in a lyric, and he was a feature on a song, and there was big controversy. And as of today, Reebok has dropped him as a sponsor. They are no longer going to sponsor Rick Ross. So it's interesting tonight. I got to hear our brother, who's going to be coming on later, because also on next Thursday, the great group Public Enemy will be inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on next Thursday. So there's a lot going on, and this show couldn't be planned more better than it happened today in the world of hip-hop, as I know you're going to introduce our guest for tonight that's going to take us, and I know he's going to have something to say about all of the stuff that I just mentioned.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And another note, we should get Jet Magazine. On the cover is a silhouette of a young black child, and it's headed Special Investigative Report, Missing and Black. Where is the outrage?
Right.
This is a very powerful expose on the nearly 150,000 black children who are missing or go missing every year that are under 18. That means that 17 black children, girls and boys, disappear every hour of every day. I'm going to say that again. Every hour of every day, 17 black children go missing. And, of course, the story centers on the fact that law enforcement, which is best positioned to assist in this, and the media, which actually is in the best position, always focus on white children.
Right.
And it is, again, yet another indicator of the time and what must be done. It is time for us to go for self and do for self. So I just wanted to add that in. I am very happy so far this year to see that Jet Magazine appears to be returning to the type of subject matter that it has historically been known to handle, all
That's
the way
right.
back to the Emmett Till lynching and murder that pushed these critical issues onto the national consciousness. And First Lady Michelle Obama was here in Chicago yesterday. Those of you, if you get a chance that have time to visit YouTube or pull up her talk, particularly the segment on Hadiya Pendleton, the little 15-year-old girl who was shot in the back and killed 1 week after participating in the inauguration. And the First Lady, this is the first time I've seen her make a foray into the political arena. You know, she has really resisted, because she is a powerful lawyer. She's
right.
an intellectual. And when you hear her, you'll hear for the first time just what a powerful speaker she is. And it actually moved me to tears. She cried at some point or held back her tears talking about this little 15-year-old girl who she saw as a reflection of herself. So let's get down to tonight. And before we bring on our spectacular guest, I want to bring into the discussion our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, the brilliant Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum assalam.
It is so good to have you and for you to take the time to be with us this evening. And I think the listeners are really calling in, and I think this is just going to be one of our most powerful shows this year.
Yes.
All right. I have my cup of tea. I've got my pen. I got my paper. I've got my iPad. So, callers, get yours, because it's time to rock and roll. we are going to tonight talk about a very, very fascinating and yet dangerous subject. And if you came on and logged in through blogtalkradio.com/elevated places, you saw that the discussion is going to be on the Illuminati. Now, Minister Farrakhan, we know or should know, is delivering divine guidance and mercy to humanity in general and to black people specifically through the time and what must be done. And over the years, the minister has taught us of the existence of a secret society that was established in the 18th century in Europe and exists today. It's stronger than ever. And it is comprised largely of the wealthiest, most powerful people in this world. Not the world, but this world. And that includes international bankers who control mainstream media, the workforce, educational systems, corporations, energy supplies, and governments, including the government of the United States of America. And the name of that society is the Illuminati. And the question tonight is going to be for our callers, what are the enemies of our liberation doing while Allah's servant is declaring Allah's will in real time over the internet, as you pointed out, Dr. Ridgely, the internet for 52 weeks in a row? Now, while Minister Farrakhan is doing this, what do we think our enemy is doing? Do we think they're sitting around playing video games?
Come on.
And so shortly, Allah willing, we will be joined by a brother that we truly adore, who has done an incredibly in-depth study of this Illuminati, and will bring and shed a great deal of light onto it. And so as soon as we get him on the line, he is going to really become the centerpiece of the discussion. But in the interim, I want to share this, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, and Brother Bobby Muhammad, whom we are so, so grateful to. He's just such a brilliant researcher, and actually did some of the research for tonight's program for the Elevated Places team. And he reminded us that Minister Farrakhan has taught extensively on the fact that Master Farrad Muhammad, the one that we believe in the Nation of Islam to be God in person, that when Master Farrad Muhammad was 6 years old, he saw himself pushing the super rich families such as the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the DuPonts, the Astors into a lake of fire.
That's right.
Because he knew the real force behind the wickedness that is covering the earth. And that wickedness is disguising itself in a business suit. And so we have got to not only on Elevated Places talk about ourselves and our the teachings of righteousness that we're receiving, but as you know, Dr. Regine, you talk about all the time, we're at war. And so you have to be conscious of deception.
Well, yeah, we are at war, and the people who we see every day, we work with these people. These are just, you know, just a slave above us. These are not, I call it, these just a sheepdog, you know, but they work for an evil shepherd. And you never see this evil shepherd. If you do, you wouldn't know him or her anyway. And this is the group of the super rich who pay people just to do research for them, to keep up with people and what they're doing, so they can sit back and plan like a god on how people are going to be 30 years from now. You know, when they put up a building that costs millions and millions of dollars, they got to get a return on that. And it may take 20 or 30 years for them to get a return on that investment, and therefore they got to make sure that people are in place to do what they want them to do so they can get their money. So it's not like they, you know, sit down and say, well, what Brother Ridgely is going to do, but they say, well, someone like Brother Ridgely, what is he going to do? What we will do, we will train a Brother Ridgely through our system to think in a certain way, to react to certain stimuli, to run out to the carrots that they lay out for us. And sure enough, Brother Ridgely will probably be right where they need for me to be to serve them so they can make their money. So this is how they operate. And Brother Professor Griff is going to talk more to us about how these people operate, how they think. And they're the ones who are working behind the scenes. And like you said, Master Farah Muhammad didn't come to wipe out your Joe Blow white person. He came to knock out the brains behind the beast.
Yes, sir. And, you know, as you're speaking, what I'm thinking about is this chokehold going on right now in front of us, because we saw that in the list of things controlled by this group are governments. And the minister taught a series years ago that corporate America had hijacked the U.S. government. And again, corporate America, in turn, is controlled by this circle of people, because it is amazing to see in front of us the subject of gun control. Now, they're doing these polls, and the numbers are off the chart. 91% of Americans believe there should be background checks before a person can purchase a weapon. Now, if this is a democratic society and 91% or 80% or even 70% of the public clearly indicates they want to go in a certain direction, why is that not occurring? And it goes back to your point from the minister, there's a hidden hand operating in all this. And these Republican people who are seated in Congress, their presence there confirms what the minister said, because no matter what the public says, they answer to the call of the corporate-owned lobbies.
That's right.
That finance their campaign. And they are interested not in representing the people, they are interested in fulfilling the agenda of those who financed them and got them in that seat. And it's got to the point where it is absolutely bogus that all these little six-year-olds were gunned down, and yet an NRA can go around and say, we don't want to do anything. We don't want to take one step toward the control of the possession of high-powered weapons, and a gun or a weapon that can fire off 30 rounds in a matter of seconds.
I thought assault and battery was against the law.
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, then if assault and a battery is against the law, why is an assault weapon okay?
Come on. Come on.
I mean, it's not a defensive weapon. Okay, it's an assault weapon. I mean, come on, it's a no-brainer. It's an assault weapon. Why you need an assault weapon unless you're going to assault somebody?
Right.
Come on, just take the assault weapons off. This is the main ones that kill all those people so instantly. Yeah, you know, it's just crazy.
Well, it again, you know, it demonstrates the need for a separate state or territory of our own. Because until we are on our own and can think clearly,
that's
we
right.
can't even plan how to overcome or contradict what is coming against us. You know, you're talking about an effort to actually, as you pointed out, establish the ability to control every single person on this planet through means of mind control, and that's being done right now through media,
right.
even as we speak. The young lady who is a co-host on Morning Joe that comes on MSNBC, she's the daughter of Brzezinski, you know, who the minister has quoted on many occasions, who said, and maybe you can help me, I don't know if I'm getting this correctly, I'm paraphrasing, but he made the statement that there was a time in history when it would be easier to control people than to kill people in mass.
That's right.
But now that has reversed itself, and it's easier to kill people off than it is to control their mind, which brings in your constant imploring of us to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and begin to take control over our food supply.
That's right. That's right.
Which we can't do without land.
That one way of control over us is through fear, and we have fear in us because we are taught to eat the wrong food. So we're eating the wrong physical food for my enemy. Then we're looking at his media, his television, and he's feeding us all types of garbage in our minds to where we don't even know what's important to think about or to do. And Master Farad Muhammad came to give us our mind back, and it looks like we're just saying, well, no, thank you. I like being dumb. But then we're dying, but then that's okay as well. So, Minister Farrakhan, you know, I made this prediction. I don't think that the Internet is going to survive 52 weeks.
You sure said it, yeah.
Of Minister Farrakhan bringing the truth directly to both the black, the white, the yellow, the red, all over the planet, so that they can begin to see what the media has been trying to keep from them. A mind and a set of teachings that can liberate the world from being under the control of these people who are behind the scenes. And so the minister every week, I mean, he's breaking down how white people were made, and I mean, just breaking it down. And you can't defeat the teachings anymore because the white man's own science is backing up everything that Minister Farrakhan is telling us from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
And you know, the ADL is screaming, just screeching over it. And when I saw the publication from them denouncing him, as always, I thought about what you had said, Dr. Rizzi, that this would only go so far before the serpent reared its head.
Yes.
That the manner in which he is bringing the truth, the elegance, the simplicity, the way in which the listener feels connected, a connection between their reality and the scripture, that the minister is giving us. I don't think anybody else is capable of connecting scripture to the immediate reality of an individual like Minister Farrakhan. But I want to, without preempting Professor Griff, we're still waiting for his arrival, but, you know, one of the things he has referenced in his talks is something called the, let me pull this out, the 21, let me see, my apologies, I lost the cover page, 21 Goals of the Illuminati and the Committee of 300. And one of these 21 goals, and I will read this, number 9, to cause by means of limited wars in the advanced countries and by means of starvation and diseases in the third world countries, the death of 3 billion people by the year 2050. Now, I'm going to say that again, because let's think about what's going on the planet right now. A goal of the Illuminati, this society of super wealthy, is to cause, by means of limited war in advanced countries and starvation and disease in third world countries, the death of 3 billion people by the year 2050. And they refer to these people as, quote, useless eaters. The Illuminati commissioned Cyrus Vance to write a paper on this subject of how to bring about such genocide. This paper was produced under the title Global 2000 Report and was accepted and approved for action by former President Jimmy Carter.
That's right.
And Edwin Muskie, then Secretary of State, for and on behalf of the U.S. government. Now, the minister has made reference to this reality over the years, but I want to pull this into the immediate current time. It says, under the terms of the Global 2000 Report, the population of the United States is to be reduced by 100 million by the year 2050. So, Brother Ridgely, Brother Terrence, if we talk about eating, oh, my God.
I think that it was 3 billion, Minister Ava, not 3 million, 3 billion.
No, did I say million? I meant to say
billion. Yes, you said million, but it's 3 billion.
Yeah, that's 3 billion with a B.
That's a B.
Globally, and then 100 million in the U.S.
That's right.
That's in the confines of the United States. That's one-third of the U.S. population.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to add to that, Sister Ava, you know, as you're referencing the minister, and we look at particular lectures, you know, in 1995, I remember when Dr. Ridgely was announced as our manager of the farm, in that same lecture, Jesus says he talks about these people that are doing what they're doing, and then he followed that lecture in Springfield, Mass, on the international bankers.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you watch the time and what must be done, and everybody needs to watch this on Saturday, he starts to go into names and particular dates of situations to show this parallel. And as we're watching him move, he's not only preparing us, he's actually revealing the devil or Satan, not dumb devils, but he's revealing Satan as he's moving us away from Satan at the same time. So if the basis, and I go back to 95, because as he introduced Dr. Ridgely about the farm, then he's going into stronger the three-year economic blueprint. He's almost showing us there's another land, the land of Canaan, that he's going to get for us, while he's trying to hold off the real Satan. And I remember a brother, Steve Coakley, used to always say, do the power analysis so that we do not be fighting dumb devils, those that come out and speak as the voice of the real dragon behind, or the real puppeteer behind the puppet. And that's the danger and the threat that they see Minister Farrakhan has. He has the ability to speak where people hear him, and he's now revealing the names and the so-called secrets they have been keeping from the masses of the people. And we know his voice is internationally recognized, and it's not just here in America. And that's
exactly
when he has become
right.
a threat.
That's exactly right.
And
go ahead, Dr. Ridgely.
You know, Brother Terrence mentioned in terms of the news about the passing of these the bill to finance the government. Well, in that bill, snuck into that bill, Monsanto worked with Congress to put the Monsanto Protection Act, you know, in that it protects companies that produce genetically modified crops so that you cannot take them to court. If they put up somebody buys some seeds, genetically modified seed next to your farm, well, you can't go to court. Now, the reason you need to go to court is because if they put genetically modified corn next to your corn, let's say a mile from you, and the wind blows the wrong way and blows pollen from the genetically modified corn over to your field, Monsanto can come over to your field and check to see whether you got the DNA of their crop in your crop, and if you do, you got to pay Monsanto, because now you growing their crop, their babies. So you as a farmer, you need to be able to protect yourself, but they wipe that out in this legislation. Everybody's here. Well, we finally got a budget. But if they slipped it in, just like in 2002, when there's a Homeland Security, you worrying about being, you know, blown up by some Muslims coming from a cave somewhere. And in the meantime, they put a pharmaceutical protection law in the 2002 bill that protects you so you can't go to court to sue a pharmaceutical company if they kill you. Otherwise, your family can't sue because they put that in the bill. So here they are. They're letting you know, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you through the anthrax vaccines and stuff like that. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. They tell you on when you look at the TV, buy this medicine. This will stop arthritis. But by the way, you might have a fatal event. Well, fatal event means you're dead. But guess what? You can't sue because I told you. You might have a fatal event. So they plan to get this $3 billion done. And they tell you right
now.
And
they're doing it.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, they're moving towards it. What is that? That's about, 37 years from now? 2050?
Yes.
Okay, and they're moving in that direction, but to your point that you just said, you made a statement, you said, while we're worried about some Muslims coming up out of a cave and blowing us up, number 11 on this list, and we're about to go to the phone shortly, callers, because we've got callers that want to get in this discussion. But number 11, now listen to this, everyone. The 11th goal is to keep people everywhere from deciding their own destinies by means of one created crisis after another.
Come on.
And then managing such crises. This will confuse and demoralize the population to the extent we're faced with too many choices. Apathy on a massive scale will result. You know, that just gives you chills. Look at what happened the moment President Obama appeared to have the election in 08 locked down. We went into a financial crisis. Okay?
That's right.
And ever since this man stepped into the Oval Office, the U.S. government has been inundated with one crisis after another, to the point where the people have become numb and don't even pay attention anymore.
That's right.
We have the fiscal crisis,
mm-hmm.
the cliff, the fiscal
right.
cliff. Manufactured. That's a made-up phrase.
Right.
The debt ceiling. Made up.
That's right.
The sequestering. Made up. You know, and so after a while, as they said in their plan,
that's right.
It is to create apathy from too many choices. This immigration issue, the gay issue, the homosexuality, which in and of itself is a form of genocide.
Right.
And so black people have been obliterated from national discussion. We are not on the agenda at all. And any so-called black talk show host, everybody's talking about same-sex marriage and comparing it to the civil rights movement.
Right.
So if I marry a woman and you all marry men, then we can go on and we're going to hit this $3 billion real quick. It ain't going to take long.
It won't take long.
If everybody gets with their own sex. See, you know, we're not looking at the logical extension of the madness.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's almost unbelievable the way they're pushing this same-sex thing. And I've read polls where there are black people even upset with preachers about talking about sex should be between, marriage should be between a man and a woman. I mean, it's just a natural thing. I think there's something in Thessalonians talking about the man of sin, and, you know, they have made it so that the talk against sin is passe. The talk against sin, somehow or another, you're not being politically correct. The talk against
Precisely.
Sin somehow makes you a bigot because you're talking against sin.
Right.
So now, we live in a world that the talk against sin is wrong.
Yeah.
So we must all
you're
die
condemned.
And go to hell because Satan is definitely in the room.
Well, you know, now laws are being passed. Hate speech.
Right.
See, this coach that got fired from Rutgers, the basketball coach, last week, and I don't know if you all saw it, and callers, we're coming to you shortly. The basketball coach at Rutgers was caught on tape, and it was a brother that exposed him. He's at the practice. He's cursing at the players. He's throwing basketballs at them, kicking them. But what got him fired, and I told my husband, I said, watch him get fired, and it's not going to be the abuse of these players.
Mm-hmm.
It is a phrase that he used. He called them fairies and faggots. I'm just quoting him. He said, you're just a bunch of fairies, a bunch of faggots. So, what comes out, now the athletic director at Rutgers got the tape and suspended the coach for 5 games, I think, and a $50,000 fine. Now, of course, this is a losing team. They're like they were 15 and 16 in the season. Now, it comes to light that he is doing this. Now, what does the media say? The media does not focus on kicking people, throwing basketballs at their heads. He is charged with making homophobic slurs. See, we're just making up stuff now. Homophobic slur.
Mm.
To your point, Dr. Rizzi, I'm homophobic.
Come on.
Because I believe in marriage between a man and a woman. Now, phobia is an unnatural fear,
right,
that doesn't have any base in reality. You have a fear of something without a scientific reason. You know, you just fear elevators just because they're there, or you fear closets or doors. So, to your point, now all of us, because we don't agree with this, I don't want to hurt you. I am not against you living your life.
Right.
But this is, and see, that's what civil rights was about, was the right of black people to live, all right, to be able to move about in society without getting burned and hung from a tree.
Right, come on.
That is not what this movement is about. This movement is about forcing everyone to submit to the idea of men going down the street, kissing each other, hugging each other. And so 300 million people live in America. But
right,
they'll say, well, Magic Johnson is with this.
Come on.
You know, his son is gay. Senator so-and-so came out and said he's in favor of it. Hillary Clinton. So they name individual persons who are prominent.
Right.
So, Snoop Lion said it's okay. Well, of course, everybody that is trying to survive in the entertainment or sports industry, you better say it.
That's right.
And as you said, Sister Ava, you better say it. And one thing we can say about that community, they show and bear witness to the teachings, unity gets the stuff done. They are so unified that we see that they're making the world believe that it is fair semen, and you better bow down, and you better not. And it's deep when you say that, when you get balls thrown at you, equipment thrown at you, yelled and cursed at, and nothing happens in that world, but just by saying that, that you get such a reprimand.
Oh, my God.
Powerless.
It was everywhere.
That's some very serious power as we'll
that's
watch
power.
This turn. So I know when our guests come on, he's going to talk about that particular reality, that not only, as you talk about the population control, is not only going in government, but we also see it on the black colleges where they're now going, having a major march on Tuesday at the White House, fighting to retain their Pell Grants and just their own existence on black colleges, while, as Dr. Ridgely says, Monsanto slipped on in the bills, slipped on in the legislation, so they
that's
can
right.
kill us openly with the presidential
isn't that
stamp
something?
On it. We got backing Ooh. By the government to be in existence. And matter of fact, in North Carolina A&T, my alma mater, my university, they are in partnership with Monsanto. And I know, just like AIPAC working with black colleges now, I know Monsanto is working with black colleges, engineering food for us to taste, because we love some good old tasting food. So that we're talking about is so real, and we're watching it right in front of our eyes, and we're eating death right in front of our eyes.
No, you're exactly right, and we're gonna go ahead and go to the phones. We have so many callers on as we await the arrival of Professor Griff. We're going to continue our discussion on the Illuminati, on the super wealthy and powerful that control, and I stress this, not the world, but this world. And as Minister Farrakhan has taught so beautifully, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Didn't say he loved this world with this freakish wickedness. He loves the world. But we're going to go to the phone, and we're going to start with Sister Anna Muhammad, who has a comment. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Welcome, Sister Anna.
Yes, ma'am. I just had to get in on this discussion tonight.
Sure.
Because years ago in Baltimore, remember me? I came to you when you were here, and I told you I mailed you a package.
Yes. Yes, I did, finally. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you got the package?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And sister, we're getting a little interference.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes, ma'am. Much better.
Okay. Years ago, Steve Coakley, you know, may Allah be pleased with our brother. I say about 15 or 20 years ago, he went all over the country talking about exactly what you're talking about tonight.
Yes, he did.
In your discussion. He did everything he could to wake us up about these people. But our people just would not listen. For some reason, they just kept saying, you know, well, why would they do a thing like that? They just couldn't understand. Like the minister said, we just can't wrap our head around the fact that there are people on this planet who are that evil and who will do what they do. And I just wanted to, you know, say that. He gave us so much information on these people.
Well,
he
you
told
know,
us about
I recall when I first came in the nation and came to Chicago, the minister was bringing in front of us black scholars, intellectuals, activists, and he constantly provided a forum for Brother Steve Coakley.
Mm-hmm.
And to speak to us and to the black community. And you're exactly right. Brother Ridgely and I were talking about that the other day. The messenger said we can't fathom the depths of Satan. And we have an emotional problem with facing up to the extent of the wickedness. We really have an emotional problem because factually, it's in our face. It's undeniable.
Yes.
So it has to be an emotional blindness, you see, because, I mean, we're just getting hit in the face. It's as plain as the nose on our face.
Well, you know, I hate to go back to my battered wife syndrome.
Yes, sir.
But the battered wife get hit right in her face, too. But
that's right.
But with a low self-esteem. And this is why the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are so important. It gives us a high self-esteem, so we will not accept that anymore. But if we have not changed our mind about self, then we maybe think, well, the reason that he's beating up on us and doing this to us is we deserve it, and maybe he's not evil. Maybe he's good and we evil.
Right.
That's how
we think.
That's
and Sister Anna, I'm going to, I wrote your number down from the screen. I'm going to call you sometime tomorrow to make sure that I'm in harmony with what I think I should have gotten from you. Make
yes,
sure I'm
ma'am.
Not mixing
and,
you up with somebody.
Did I include a paper in there called They Are Still Our Slaves?
That's not what I'm thinking
okay.
about. So that's why I said I needed to call you, because I may be confused. Because, you know, I get a lot of material, and
yes,
I know
ma'am.
I got something from Baltimore, but I don't recall that. But I'm going to call you so we can go over what it was, and you can help
okay.
me. All right, beloved, and thank you
yes,
for the
ma'am.
Call.
Assalamualaikum.
And Sister
okay.
Ava.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to jump in to add on to what you said about the minister, and I want people to be real clear that as we know that there is a Nation of Islam research team, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is open to all credible research.
Excellent.
And he utilizes that credible research regardless where it comes from, mm-hmm. but it's his mouth and the time that allows the people to hear.
True.
And I say this because Steve Coakley was a close friend of mine. We were real close, meaning I picked
yes,
him up in different cities and we traveled the country together. And
yes.
I know the conversations and messages he was sending to the minister, and I know how the history of the minister receiving that. And I say that because even though he was dropping these information here and there and here and there, there's a season and a time, and he had a purpose. But the minister's job is a divine purpose and mission, and it's a global mission. And then when the minister speaks, it's not as a mere person speaking. He is the voice of God in our midst. So I think that when those that are out there have the information, have the knowledge, get it to the minister, because the one enemy of this government and the Illuminati is Minister Farrakhan, because his ability to pull the masses is like none other. For a man to bring 2 million, they know that he can pull them, and whatever information he has, people are going to listen.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That's an excellent observation. Next up, we have a brother calling from Mexico, Brother Abraham Sharif. Let me get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Walaikum salam. Walaikum salam, Sister Abel Muhammad. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much. And to Brother and Dr. Ridley Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, and to the rest of the panel and staff. I have been following you, Sister Ava Muhammad, on your program, and I must say that it's a great contribution to the intelligence, to the upliftment and intelligence of our people.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that I want to share with you is the fact that now our people perhaps may appear to be in the malaise because we don't understand fully the urgency of the moment.
Yes.
Our situation,
yes.
Actually. And I think that as this program unfolds and the future programs immediately, and that which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing on the time, will amplify for us the urgency of our condition and the condition of the poor around the globe. Washington understands very well the urgency of what they are doing, since they understand that in the Americas alone, in the next 10 years, the population will have increased almost up to 1 billion people. And we're running a race with China when we get into those sorts of numbers.
Right.
And the people of Latin America are not white people in the majority. They are
right.
Black, brown, light brown.
Yes,
yellow.
Sir.
So that's a lot of people. And that people put a heavy burden on the resources of the planet, such as water and energy. Washington is in a mad dash through policies to reduce that number, since it's competitive with those who have ruled traditionally the Americas, Asia, Africa, and the Middle East, either directly or through proxy. So we are really going to have to get busy and get down to answering the final call, because we're not going to have any time in the future to do that. So our unity, hopefully, will give us the impetus and the power to overcome the impending threat that we face. It is my hope, really, that we will have the opportunity to hear concretely those dangers which we face and the poor people of the earth face right now. I think that's an urgent thing to do.
Yes, sir. That's an excellent, excellent observation and something we better take to heart.
I'm a little nervous.
You don't sound like it.
It's been some 20 years almost since I've had the opportunity to speak with my brothers and sisters there in the United States.
Oh,
directly.
Praises due to Allah. Well, we're honored. We're honored,
yes.
Beloved.
It is my
and,
honor.
And, you know, Allah is using you to remind us that one of the most erroneous categorizations of us is minority.
Exactly.
You know,
well, we are the majority.
You said, we're everywhere. You know?
That's right.
I remember receiving the pledge card, the Nation of Islam pledge card, that was issued to the believers in the 1980s. And one of the highlights on the pledge card was the pledge to strive to build schools, hospitals, businesses, housing, and to establish international trade. Our focus has always been pretty much local from our people on the streets. We've always looked at issues local, and we're kept busy with the constant ups and downs of what we face on the streets of the United States. However, the Illuminati that you've referred to, they don't think local. They think international, and they think globally, which encompasses the issues that face us locally. So we have to understand who it is and what it is that we're up against, and we are indeed up against them. And they are indeed against us.
Yeah.
We really cannot waste our time and the lives of our future and our children through sport and play.
That's
we have
right.
to get real serious. And in the coming months, events will take place on the streets of the United States and in government that are really going to press us to reach deeply within and make the decision. What are we going to do for self and our people?
Right.
Are we going to answer the final call, or are we going to put off the final call and lose our lives and our future?
That's the question. That's exactly
you
right.
You spoke of over 100,000 young women missing.
We have to ask ourselves,
what is the motive of
That's
this
right.
great number of people missing? What is the motive behind this? If you kidnap someone, you have to feed them. If you're not going to off them, you have to feed them.
That's
so
right.
So who's going to feed 100,000 missing black young girls?
And boys. That's boys. That's both. That's male and female.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the Illuminati, under their program of Agenda 21, which I'm sure you have will address more deeply, that program it fits right into the continuity of government, which is a program exercised by the United States, designed by the United States and exercised by the United States, and it extends internationally. It's not only the continuity of government of those inside the United States. It's the continuity of government of those who have traditionally been in power and exercised that power globally. So you have those who choose to continue government in Europe, Asia, and Africa. Well, we must understand that our enemy today is not just white. We have people who make up the 10% class who rob the poor who are black, white, red, yellow, and brown. And that is in each nation. Each nation has a 10%. So I
That's
just want
right.
to make that comment, and maybe you can stretch that out a little bit
Absolutely.
For the benefit of us all. If you
well,
will.
Well, Brother Abraham, thank you, and keep listening and keep calling in because it just uplifts us because this is global. This is a global issue. It is not local or even national. It's global. And thank you, beloved,
thank you.
So much.
Thank you, and may Allah bless our nation of peace.
Yes,
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
And you know, to Brother, that was awesome. And to Brother Abraham's point, and what we were talking about earlier, it's to one of the goals of the Illuminati, the first one, the very first one, and the minister has specifically referenced this, to establish a one world government, which we heard Bush Sr. call. Bush won the New World Order with a unified church and monetary system under their direction. The One World Government began to set up its church in the 1920s and 30s, for they realized the need for a religious belief inherent in mankind must have an outlet. Therefore, they set up a church body to channel that belief in the direction they desire. They know it's innate in the human to worship
right.
the Creator.
Right.
And so they knew they couldn't just cut out spirituality and religion. So they said, okay, we'll make up a church body and channel the belief into that. And then they say later on, one of their goals, going back to this homosexuality, and we'll go back to the phones. Number six, to encourage, now listen at this, people, to encourage and eventually, and tell me this isn't going on, legalize the use of drugs and make pornography an art form which will be widely accepted and eventually become commonplace. That they've achieved that.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Yeah, they can put a check mark by that one.
Oh yeah, they got that on TV every day.
Yep.
Every day, and you know, back in the day, you had to go on cable at night after
mm-hmm.
the children were in bed to find it. Now, under the so-called concept of lingerie. They have naked women on. First thing in the morning. Yeah, this Victoria's Secret, what is the difference between them and a stripper?
Come on.
I mean, they just have the most minute part of that area somewhat covered. But these women are naked, selling bras and panties in the morning. And so pornography is now considered an art form, and it is commonplace. And, of course, legalizing the use of drugs.
Yes.
That's the next big thing, you know, moving up on the agenda. First of all, alcohol is a drug. It's legal.
Right.
Right.
Tobacco, nicotine is a drug, and it is legal.
Right.
Okay, and now marijuana is coming. Cocaine will follow, so that they can just mark that one done.
It's basically, you know, everybody's drugged up and sexed up, and they're looking for some other expressions. I mean, usually you think of sex as something that you look forward to, is a novel situation. When we was young, we used to have to talk a long time to somebody before you even think about this type of thing. I mean, a long time. but now it's like first date. You know what I mean? Bam, it's over. But then, you know, they've taken a lot out of it. Now,
yeah, you don't even have. There aren't any dates. You don't even have the date now. You just call it hooking up. We're going to hook up. And really, when Hugh Hefner, who I just can't believe he's still around, when Hugh Hefner, I mean, this is a fossil, this is a predator, a pedophile, okay, in our face, who's being upheld and admired in society, and he's got to be 100 years old, and he always has these 20-year-old girls, 19-year-old girls. Now, it was when Playboy magazine came out in the early 50s that sex became a sport.
Mm. Right.
See, like you said, there was a time when it was intimacy between a man and a woman is sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate in union between man and woman. Not anymore. See, now 60 years later, these young children now, the girls have no shame. When I was coming up, it was considered shameful to give yourself away outside of marriage. And if a girl did something, she hid that fact. All right?
Right.
These young girls today, And the messenger said, where there are no decent women, there are no decent men. The females could care less. They run on Facebook with it before the man.
Well, you know, I had this experience when I was selling T-shirts and books at North Carolina A&T. I had a truck that I was in, a van, and people couldn't see me sometimes, and I'd be inside the truck, and I hear these young girls on campus talking to one another, and one of them said to the other one, "Well, I don't know. He gonna get some of this. He think he ain't gonna get some of this, but he gonna get some of this." Now I said, "Good gracious!"
I mean, I'm not laughing because I'm laughing. This is real, and
it's real.
And I said, "You're hearing this,
right?"
Because we're talking loud on cell phones.
Right.
I don't want to hear your conversation
at
when
all.
I'm shopping. But again, you know, it seems meaningless in and of itself, but it's all part of a grand scheme of Satan. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Sophia on the line, and she has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Sophia.
Wa alaikum salam. I wanted to talk about Lot, and in Lot's time, that the people approached him and told him, when the angels visited Lot, told him, "Didn't we tell you that you could not entertain visitors?" Those were public officials. Those weren't just anybody from the community. And it seems as though now we're being moved to a point where we, who don't want to be Sodomites, will be oppressed. Because they are finding ways to, increase their numbers. They used to say we don't reproduce, so we have to recruit. They're finding ways to so-called reproduce and recruit.
Yes.
But yeah, not recruiting directly. They're doing it indirectly through the media. It's so important that Mr. Farrakhan has his own network, his own way of getting to the public, because I was killing them on Yahoo with the comments. Every time they come up anti-Muslim, I mean, I just shut them down. And the last time I was able to get through with a comment and get a response back was around Easter, and I was just telling them, why would God use a woman to create a son to have him murdered when he didn't have to use a woman to create his first human being? And they knocked me out. They stopped me from posting, and then after they let me post again, they stopped me from getting replies. So, you know, you almost have to have your own
network. Well, you do. You're exactly right. That has to be high on the agenda, and it goes back to our own territory, our own government, and we have to have our own means of communication. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I shut off my AT&T service except for internet, and when I took the boxes back to have them shipped at UPS, they told me that AT&T was getting about 100 of those back per day. So I think there are a lot more protests, but we're just not able to hear it. They're not allowing us to hear the protests that's going on against the status quo. And as far as money is concerned, I think most of us don't know what to do. It wouldn't know what to do if there were not money, you know. But I think that there is some good in the use of money, but most of it works against us because they use it mostly to divide us.
Exactly.
And, originally, in our original form of life, you know, of village and community, we exchanged services and everybody was taken care of, and we're going to have to go back to that. And getting to our young women and the nudity is just like they don't know who they are unless they're showing their body. And I have some nieces that I'm really fighting hard for them and telling them, I hope you pass this test because you're being tested. I can remember that starting with Wertheimer on television, and that was the first time that I was felt really, really offended by what somebody was saying. You know, with her, the way she said the word sex was just vulgar. So I appreciate your show, the ability to call in, and I thank you so much for
your comments. They are insightful and more than welcome. And you know, the girls are being tested, but we have to protect them, and we're at the stage now, if you look at this Illuminati goal and look at the level of achievement, there is no other solution, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. The best and only solution is separation, because we can't overcome this. They dominate the land. I just got a word that Professor Griff is not going to make it this evening. Inshallah, we can get him next week, but I think we need to continue talking about the Illuminati, as they are called, or the small circle of wealthy, the 5%, as we are taught in the lessons in the Nation of Islam, who are the force behind the madness that is saturating the landscape. Brother Willie has been holding for quite some time. And let's get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sister, and to the panel. I'm with Brother Lewis down here at the Hot Black Coffee.
Yes,
and I want to make a comment about the Illuminati and how do we get that knowledge to the younger generation. You know, a lot of them, like you say, they listen to rap music, and it's in some of the rap songs, but how do we bring that to their attention? How do we give them self-pride again? You know, groups like Public Enemy, that was going on back in the days, I mean, we learned a lot from them, BDP and Rakim and those types of artists. But, like, now it's, like, dumbed down to Lil Wayne and, you know, Soulja Boy and stuff like that. So how do we get our children to have an interest in that type of knowledge? Because if we don't, they're going to die. Like you say about the drugs, the homosexuality along with the drugs, that's going to kill our people off with thoughts.
Well, you know, quickly, and the panel should comment, but one thing, a friend of mine said to me in an email yesterday, no matter how tempting it is, you're not the friend, you're the mother. Okay? And one of the things that has been achieved by this media is the disappearance of boundaries between child and adult. You know, children and adolescents, and really up until the age of 25, it's the brain doesn't fully comprehend cause and effect and consequences. Okay? And so you can't come at the youth from a posture of this is not good for you, this is not good for our future. They're concerned with the immediate reality and being satisfied, and what they want is power. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't take anything from the people unless you have something to replace it with. So if we say to our children, you know, we don't want you using drugs, we don't want you dressing in a provocative way, we don't want you this, all negative reinforcement, what are we replacing that which the devil has caused them to desire? What are we replacing it with? See, that's why we have to direct them first and foremost to the minister so they can start to get orientated to what real power is.
That's right.
They want power. I remember Brother Student Minister Nuri Muhammad said one time, and I loved it, he said, children don't want to be right. They want to be grown. You know, so the devil comes and says, I'll give you that. So he gives
grown.
Six-year-old girls high heels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He gives 8-year-old girls eyeliner and mascara. You see, he feeds it to them in a wicked way. They want to be grown. They want to be in authority and power. And we can connect them to the ultimate power.
Yes, ma'am. The reason,
which is
the
control,
why,
you know, over their own destiny.
Yeah, and the reason why I brought up, like, people like Public Enemy and Boogie Down Production, because when I was a young teenager, you know, that's what I had. And I became a rapper based on what they talk about. So
yes,
today, I am the product of Rakim, Public Enemy, and Boogie Down Production. That's what
yes,
I
sir.
Do. And the reason, and I'm 40 years old right now. So I was, like, as a teenager listening to those cats. And it made me who I am today. So when I listened to Public Enemy and read their cover, and they was talking about Mr. Farrakhan and Malcolm X, I didn't know who none of those people were. So I was fascinated by a guy named Malcolm X. You know, I thought, hey,
right.
Man named X. You know, he might be married to Madam X. But once I got into it and started hearing what he talking about, I mean, it's like Malcolm was rapping to us. And
right.
It went from Malcolm to the messenger to hearing the supreme rapper now, the minister. So that's why I say we got to put the information out there. That's why I put it out there in my words, because there's some young brother or sister out there that's going to hear you and is going to listen to you and going to follow that. Yeah, it's going to be some that's not going to listen. They're going to have to learn how they have to learn. But it's going to be those that's going to take heed to it. There's always one in the community. There's always one in the neighborhood that's going to stand up, and they're going to stand
right.
strong on that. And that's why, you know, I give so much thanks to those brothers, because they wasn't scared to do what they did. They didn't care who liked it. And like I say, Fight the Power was like the number one video. We need to Fight the Power, too. That's why I wish Professor Griff would have came tonight. But maybe next time.
Hopefully next week, inshallah. Yes, sir.
So,
thank you, Brother Willie.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum to everybody.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sister Ava, I wanted to jump in there because, you know, I'm
yes,
a hip-hop head. You know, one, you know, we will want Professor Griff on next week, but I will make a disclosure. As I stated earlier, Public Enemy is receiving the inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on next Thursday. So he probably will not be able to be
on. Available. Well, we'll get him when we can.
Right. So I also want to say I want to mention MC, and I say MC better than rapper, and that's a whole nother discussion. Jasiriet has an album. He just released Ascension. There's a brother named Brother Ali. There's a group, Rebel Diaz, Narumbi Sela. These are artists that are out now that are still conscious. And the sister that I just mentioned, she actually has the clip of the minister town hall with Brother Ashad, on there, on her video. So there's still conscious rappers out there.
I was going to bring that up, that we have right within our circle very gifted rappers. And the children will listen. They'll listen.
And they will listen. And I want to use, and I also want to reference, that at Snoop Dogg came to Savior's Day, and one of the things he said he sees himself as the leader of the hip-hop community, and they listen to him. And he said he listens to Minister Farrakhan.
Right.
So as you stated, getting the MCs, getting the artists to hear him, and you will hear it in the poetry, in the spoken word. You will hear it in the lyrics, because all of the people that he talked about, Public Enemy, KRS-One, where did they get that from? They got it from going to hear, you know, as Chuck D says, you know, they mad at him because he called Farrakhan a prophet, you know, and all of that knowledge that was out there because they heard it from those that was conscious, as we did in the 60s and the 70s with James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud, because they came to hear those that were speaking that conscious. So I say to bring them to hear Minister Farrakhan, and hopefully some of that will be put in the lyrics. And that's why I do give big ups today to Jay-Z for standing strong against the whole outcry about him going to Cuba. As he says, you know, the politician never did nothing good for him. So he made some bold statements today, but he used that power of hip-hop when consciousness is given to them.
Well, you know, to your point, Professor Griff, we have to remember, came to his epiphany as an FOI.
Right.
Sitting in FOI class in the Nation of Islam. So when brothers say, well, they were drawn to this through Public Enemy, as you just said, Public Enemy came up, Public Enemy is a child of the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
And their album, if you listen back to their album, I'm on there, Brother Khaled is on there. The minister is on there. And one of the things that we need to do is understanding the short attention span, not of youth, but of everybody in today's society, because of what this Illuminati has done. As we just read, they've created apathy with all these manufactured issues. You know, we need to be able to lift from Minister Farrakhan's lectures certain key phrases, you know, and cue up your daughter and son to YouTube, you know, and just say, just check this out, just 1 minute. I just give me 30 seconds and listen to this. And trust me, they will connect, because the minister is not a lecturer. He's connecting on the spiritual level. They'll feel the call to come home to God. We have to be, as adults, you know, we have to be firm and strong in our faith and certainty. You know, we function so ineffectively in society, and we are so uncertain ourselves that our children look at us and they're like, well, why should I listen to you? Because you don't seem too stable. See, we have to be strong. I grew up in a house, my mother and father were take no prisoners, okay?
Right.
But they had control of their existence, which comes out of a moral life. And the minister has said that. You know, when you have immorality, you have the fall of the economy, the fall of the political world, and all of that. That's why America's falling, because she's so immoral. moral. So we need to be a moral example in how we function. And that's what that's the minister's attraction.
Well, you have to have a goal ahead of you to stay on the path. In other words,
yes,
immorality takes you off a path. But question, what is your path?
Yes.
And this is why Minister Farrakhan's speech in Tuskegee, for me, was an epiphany in terms of a turn of direction. Before, the Nation of Islam, I would say, is like a protest movement. We was talking about the white man as the devil. We was talking about the evils of the white man in his world. But Minister Farrakhan now has put us on a trail of building a new world. He said the seminal fluid of a new world, and this world would be God's kingdom on earth. And so now we got something to shoot for. What would God want the world to be like? What do we need to do to prepare ourselves and our children to build this new world? So it's not just a protest on the evils of this world, but let's put forth a model. And as quietly as it's kept, there's a lot of inventions that are kept away from the public because the Illuminati can't figure out a way to control it and to control the production of it and the money made by it. If we get these people out of the way, or we just take and say, look, we don't care whether you got a patent on this thing or not. We are going to produce it and we're going to use it. We can build a better world for ourselves right now. The white man's world is not the best that it ever was, and it's not the best that it can be. We can do better. Yeah, I am an arrogant Negro, okay? I'm an arrogant black man. I think that the black man is superior to the white man's mind, and that we put our minds together, our money together, our work together. We can build a world that will surpass his world on every level, spiritually, physically, financially, every level. I believe that. Now, if we have that type of belief in self towards the future, then we have to stay on a moral trail because you make a mistake, the devil's going to take you out of here. He's waiting for you to lock you up in his jail and shoot you up with drugs. But if you have something to shoot for, then this gives you the power to stay on the path. And Mr. Farrakhan,
right,
like I said before, he is the next human being. I want to be like him. So want to be like him. How did he get there?
Yes,
what did you see there? Those are the types of things that we have to start thinking about.
They just indicted Reverend Jeremiah Wright's daughter today.
What?
Yeah, everybody is being charged with the same thing. You know, some sort of tax evasion and lying to it. Here's the supreme liar of the universe.
Come on.
You know, and he charges people with lying. He's the supreme thief, and he charges you. And you know, again, you just said it. You know, don't go off the path because he will be waiting to get you. You know,
that's right.
We've got Brother Malik has been holding a long time. He's got a couple of questions. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Malik.
Wa alaikum salam. Hello?
Yes, sir. You are live. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm live.
Yes,
okay. I just want to give all praise to Allah, you know what I mean, just for being on the show tonight. I've been following since last year. And one of the I have two questions, actually. The first question is for the panel. We saw that we had the president speak to, you know, the Congress with the Newtown family members. And we also had Sister Michelle Obama speak to the business leaders in Chicago. But why didn't we have the president, like the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said, come to Chicago and speak himself? Why is there always a woman in place when we should have a strong black leader? That's my first question.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to what we've been saying all evening about this group or these wealthy people who control governments. We honestly think President Obama, as the ministers told us, he was selected then elected.
Right.
He's following a set of instructions on how far he can go.
You know, what I like to help people out with this is that we had 8 years of George Bush, and the country, you know, had problems. But if he was actually running things, you know, the trains wouldn't have got here on time. The planes wouldn't have flown at all, okay? So he wasn't running the government. And so President Obama, he's not running the government. He's not making the key decisions. He has to go according to a script. And I feel sorry for anybody because Mr. Farrakhan said that once you become in that office, then they take you downstairs into the basement and introduce you to the real government.
To the reality.
That's right. To the reality. And this is what you're going to do for 4 years, or you're going to wind up getting missing, like Kennedy got missing. Okay?
The only strong black leader that we do have today is Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
He can't be bought, he can't be sold, and he can't be told what to do.
That's right. And you know, to your point about needing a strong black voice, as the minister has also said, Obama, President Obama is not the president of black America.
Right.
You know, he wasn't.
You're correct.
His primary agenda item is not what's in our interest. And, in fact, he has gone further in pushing us into oblivion than any previous president that I can think of. Because the white
Nothing
ones have to pay some sort of lip service to us.
Yep.
But I would just like to hear him use the word black in a sentence.
That's cold.
Well, he did. He said, I'm not the black president. He said, I'm America's president.
Okay. All right. Well,
okay, so
there
it is.
Okay.
This is my second question. I'm not interrupting the panel.
Yes.
But this is for a doctor, and I'm going to say that again. Dr. Ava Muhammad. We have a lot of women that are raising single homes right now, and one of the questions is, the second question that I'm posing to you is that how can you, as a strong black woman who knows about economic empowerment and how we should separate from the enemy, how can you teach this to the young women that are coming up? Because I went to the store today. I listened to Brother Ishmael Muhammad,
yes.
And how he said that if you even take your money and you go into a black-owned business and you spend, and if it costs a little more, so what? What are you going to use the extra change for? What are you going to use the extra money for? If it's not to advance your own brother and sister. So what happened today is I was trying to explain to one of the sisters in the store the reason why I came into the store was to buy because it was black-owned. And she was basically a younger female. She told me that, well, this is America, and everybody's going to buy from us regardless. And I said, see, this is what the enemy wants us to do. He wants to divide and conquer our minds and have us so quick to defend the enemy as far as saying that it's a fair game, it's a fair shot. So coming back to you, Dr. Ava Muhammad, What we need you in New York too. I mean, I'm from New York. I'm from the Bronx. We need strong women like you to come out and to speak to the young women because they're raising a lot of single black males in the home and a lot of females. But what could you say and what could you do to teach more of economic growth, empowerment, and self worth for the black people?
Well, let me give a shameless plug. I have a book called Real Love. And one of the things I talk about in there is how marriage is the base for wealth. We've been led to believe in the black community this myth that marriage is a burden, it's a drain, it limits life, when it is completely opposite that. I spoke to some young sisters a couple weeks ago in Cleveland. And, if people bring them to me and I can get to them, I can reach them. But I'm going to say this real quick. I think, beloved, in all honesty, we're beyond the teaching phase in terms of God's judgment. Now, the minister's doing the time and what must be done, bringing it all to a close, really. The teaching is there. It's available. It's been heard by just about everyone. The way to get to the youth now, in my judgment,
yes,
because the devil has been so effective in destroying their curiosity and desire for knowledge, is to show them. This means, in accord with Master Farrakhan Muhammad's plan, which he never, we are taught, He never planned for the Nation of Islam to be a mass movement in terms of registered Muslims, that millions of people would register in the Nation of Islam. Why? Because our people cannot handle the discipline. That's a lot of poppycock, this idea that they don't like the message. They love the message, but they don't want to stop fornicating. They don't want to stop committing adultery. They don't want to stop getting high. That's what they have a problem with. And so we have to separate our people. And by doing that, we have to overcome the desire for these sinful things, and we have to show them, as Dr. Rizzi was saying earlier, a heavenly reality. So it was meant that a small number of people willing to submit themselves to this discipline would be blessed and become an example of how life can be. And so our duty now, we can't out-teach the minister. His name means clear, okay? Furqan, the discrimination, okay? Exactly. After he talks to you, you might love it, you might hate it, but one thing, I've been with him 30 years. I've never heard anybody, black, white, old, young, rich, poor, say they didn't understand it.
Come on. And he's never called a liar.
They like it, they don't like it, but the message has been heard. So now the people want to know, so what's next? What are y'all doing?
That's right.
That's it.
See?
And I just have one more thing to say is that I'm working on my master's right now in history.
Awesome.
And if you look at everything that's going on right now, and if you see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a genius. Do you understand? He was a genius because he paved the way for all of this knowledge to come to fruition. How would you say through Malcolm X and through the only standing man that we have right now of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And
yes, sir.
I just want to get back to another point as well. From last week, we had a caller that he called into your show, and I heard him saying, "Well, how the media, the Jewish people control the media, which we know, and how they try and dumb down everything in that." Minister Farrakhan, they're trying to hush him. And I have a 9-year-old nephew, and we had pictures here, and I showed him a picture of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I said, "You know who that is?" He said, "Yeah, that's Farrakhan." And I'm like, "Wow, how did you know that was Farrakhan?"
I love it.
He told me, listen, now get this. He told me that they don't teach that in school. He said, "My friends, we talk about this with each other." So listen,
oh,
Farrakhan, and I told him, I said, "Well, wait a minute, would you refer to him too?" I said, "That is Farrakhan." I said, "But that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan." So he's not dying at all. He's like Farrakhan said, "I cannot die." And I thank you for taking my call. And
we thank you for making the call. Yes, sir. All right, beloved.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm going to go to Brother Lewis. He's been on a long time, and we love to hear from Brother Lewis. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How y'all doing?
We're fired up.
Yeah, we are, too, in the southbound lane. Are you almost out of time? How much time do we have?
Yeah, we're running low. This was a special two-hour show, so we got about 20 minutes.
Okay, well,
I want to make sure we get all the callers in.
I'll be very, very brief.
Okay.
In the book, The Committee of 300, on page 38, it talks about the ADL, which are small hats, I mean also so-called Jews, that they have an open-door policy to the State Department, and they make good use of their intelligence agency. And they also go on to say in the book that of the four leaders that work together with the State Department and the ADL, of the four, three of them are known homosexuals. So this might talk a little bit more about why they're pushing so hard this depopulation plan, as Dr. Ridgely would say it, and this homosexuality that they're pushing. And if you noticed, They're trying to merge it onto breast cancer awareness. And you'll see NFL football players zigzagging, you know, in the end zone with pink cleats on all over the place. And so I think it's really important, and I'm going to stop on this point, that we, the Nation of Islam, or conscious black people, become more aggressive in what we desire. If we desire separation, it's not just a secret we have to talk about among Muslims. We can say this out in open. We have to come out the closet.
Right.
And I think that we need to begin to, as you're doing it, Sister Ava, really put this idea of separation out there, because there is no hope. And if you notice, after the Million Man March, this is when even some college students told me that there were summons from Southern University to Washington, D.C., to join the CIA so that they could have homosexuals infiltrate black power organizations. And after the Million Man March, that's when Cleflo Dollar and Bishop Eddie Long and T.D. Jakes got all the faith-based initiative money. And the reality is a new heaven and a new earth are coming down, and the former things will pass away, so we can't be in awe of the so-called stars of, as you said, this world. We got to turn the heat up.
Yes,
thank you. Love the show. Yes,
we love you, brother.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
salam. And on that note, Brother Ali and Minister Ava, about being aggressive, you know, we have a habit of being reactive. And we have to be progressive. And one of the things that we're doing with this petition, the petition to open the files on Malcolm X, you know, they did this movie Betty and Coretta, and they threw a slander on the minister. See, they can't kill the minister, but they can throw a slander on the minister, throw a slander on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to keep people away from them. But the comments of the people, we have over 2,500 people so far who have signed on to the petition, and the comments of the people that the Wadi signed are so informative. As a matter of fact, a number of people basically said, we just need to separate from this war-loving, war-mongering country. We need to have our own land. We need to find out the truth so that we can put our money together to purchase our own land. So they understand the importance of clearing up the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad and showing the light on the governor of the United States. They are the ones who are behind all the division in the black community. If they would just leave us alone, we could do for self, but they continue because they know who we are, but yet we don't. So we want to be proactive in this petition, going to our black president, President Obama, going to our black attorney general, Eric Holder. Okay, y'all in office, y'all ain't done nothing black for us, but can you just please open up the file? Let's see it unredacted. Let's see the real deal about what happened so that we can just clear this up and move on. Otherwise, these people, these Illuminati behind the scenes, are going to bring Malcolm up every 20 years. The next generation will be dealing with. Who killed Malcolm? Y'all killed Malcolm. We need to clear this up right now. So please, y'all, go to NOI.org and sign the Malcolm X petition to let's get the government to open up these files so we can see what happens and clear this mess up.
And no matter what a person feels, you know, this becomes a good way to communicate with people, because you have so many wandering around in the black community saying y'all killed Malcolm. That's a major impediment to our growth. And so, you know, you say to them, if you believe that the nation killed Malcolm, sign this petition, because the government knows.
That's right.
The government knows. The FBI was following Malcolm everywhere. They were listening to all of his calls. They were listening to the messenger's calls, everybody's calls. So they know, and they have it. And so no matter what you speculate might have happened, let's go to the source who's holding it and force them, as we have a constitutional right, to know the truth, to open the file. So sign the petition, and let's press this. We've got... Let's see, Brother Hoyle, he is next. Brother Hoyle, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava.
Wa alaikum
salam. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, and to the panel, the beautiful panel of Dr. Ridley and other brothers and just Assalamu alaikum, brothers. And brother Terrence, the flight man, huh? Yes, sir. Hey, Sister Ava and panel, did y'all hear about Joel Osteen?
No.
Did y'all hear? They said, I read an article on him, and he, the article was saying that he was upset with Obama passing that Monsanto Act. And they were talking about he was, you know, I don't know how true this is. You know, he had a lecture, I remember Minister Anthony pulled it up, talking about pork, you know.
I watched it,
pork.
Yeah. Really, it was a How to Eat the Liggers. He dealt with shrimp and
all
that.
Shrimp, yep.
Scavengers.
Yeah,
and
this latest article, he was talking about the fluoride in the water. If you just listen to some of his stuff, even, you know, you can tell he's been listening to the minister. And Obama, he was upset about this Monsanto Act, about the GMOs in the food, the fluoride in the water. And they were trying to say he was trying to denounce Christianity. But I don't know, but that's showing us that you know, these preachers are listening, you know. And I just wanted, Sister Ava, if you ever get a chance in the future, and I thank you for allowing Brother Professor Griff with that Committee of 300. But in the future, sister, if you ever get a chance when you're preaching, and I want to thank your husband, Brother Darius, for those tapes, How to Eat, Live. You remember that lecture?
Oh, yes, sir.
You did?
Yeah, How Will We Eat in the Hereafter, yes, sir.
In the Hereafter, in the Millennium. And, you know, telling us what's in the foods, what's in the water. That was a powerful lecture you did, Sister Ava.
Praise
you can introduce that again, and especially to these sisters, because 75% of the work is with the nation. You know, I'm parked over here now. I'm looking at our sisters in these fast food restaurants right now as we speak, you know, and that's killing us. But
it really
going
is.
Back to this this committee of 300, there's so many points. I got the book at home, but you were talking about point number 12, introducing, you know, and Professor Griss was talking about the frequencies in the music, you know. And also, oh, there's so many points. I got all these points in front of me, and I know we don't have all the time, but even to the homosexuality of killing off, that's a form of genocide, of destruction of the black family, going back to the old movie Claudine, you know.
Right.
It was two professors, Nathan and Julia Hare, who had a book.
Oh,
and
yeah.
An article in the film. You remember that, Sister Ava?
Yes.
It was an article, and they had a book called The Destruction of the Black Family.
That's right.
And
the minister had them come and address us as well, yes.
And they talked about welfare and child support and all of this stuff. But if you go to the movie Claudine, all of that's in there.
Yes.
But that's just part of it. But I'm just looking at it, and I know I can't go over all these 21 ways of the Illuminati, this John Coleman book, even to the point of this is a good one right here. You talked about the useless eaters, and it says the weak and the moral fiber of the nation, mass unemployment, using robots. And then there's another one, number 8, talking about suppressing all scientific development. You know, you remember that movie, The Electric Car? But I'm not going to go all through this. I'm just looking at this, but this is a beautiful show. I wish maybe next week Professor Griffith will go through this, but this is powerful. I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to get off. And this is powerful, and I hope everybody listening. Minister Farrakhan talked about our righteousness will sustain us in this dark hour. And Sister Ava, you said some power. This little nation of Islam is an example, if we're following right, of the restrictive law. And this is going to give us our blessing. And our God, He had us to sign a form for. And if we want these blessings, we got to adhere to these laws. And
that's right.
And if we want to be a blessing, we got to be an example. And
yes,
for the
that's
people
exactly
who are not
right
in the nation, if you just be right, if you want to come in the nation, fine. But these restrictive laws, this is a dark hour. And like Brother Ishmael said, it ain't 20 years before a chastisement gets you. If you do something wrong,
yes,
now,
sir,
it's quicker than Mike Tyson fighting Mike Tyson, how quick he hits you. So,
well,
that's
exactly right. And see, with the minister in Texas, that's the the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that there will be a certain number of Caucasian people who will help us, and
right.
they will be part of this, and they will be blessed. They will be blessed for doing so. And of course, this is their structure, and we're not spooky. So we have
right.
to have people among us with knowledge of the outgoing paradigm.
That's right.
You know, even as we move toward the incoming.
And I remember you saying, Sister Ava, that you were mentioning something about how they're supposed when they will help us. You know, like if it's the white woman, don't date her. She's there to help you in that time. You know, I forgot how you put it, but it was in a lecture you did. But,
yes, sir.
Like I said, they that's their purpose. But Sister, this is a powerful show, and
thank you.
Like I said. And all of y'all have done a great job, and I just want to commend all of you. And all
well,
of the,
we appreciate you.
Oh, anytime, Sister. Any little information I get, and you know, all of us, like you said, we're gods, and we have something to put in to help raise our nation. But I'm gonna let somebody else get in, and
right.
if I get any more information, Sister, I'll be in inshallah next weekend. And may Allah bless all the panel.
Thank you, sir. And may I bless you as well. Thank you so much. I'm going to go to Sister Mariam, because she's been on so long. Hold on, let me.
Ma'am?
Sister Mariam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I'm so glad you're still there.
Yes, ma'am, I am. And I was sitting here listening to your program, and my one comment is that I am so grateful to Master Fahd Muhammad and to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our own beloved minister, Minister Farrakhan Muhammad, and you, dear Sister Ava, and we know each other real well.
All praise to Allah.
Every
yes,
time
ma'am.
You come down to March number 3, I try to be there to meet
yes,
and talk
ma'am.
With you.
Yeah.
However, I was listening to your program on the talking about the Illuminati, and I have spoke to you briefly about a daughter that I had that is now gone on before us and transitioned. She's made a transition. I'm sorry. I have to correct that.
Yes, ma'am.
However, she left behind for me some music, a DVD, a production that she did. And she was about to get off into that Illuminati and that world. And we sit down and we talked in depth, and I told her that I was totally against the music industry, the television acting, the whole Hollywood nine yards. And I left it with her. I said, well, you know, it's your decision. You're a grown woman now, and whatever you do, I must tell you, Carmen was her name, that with the Illuminati, there's always a sacrifice. And this woman you're looking at, your mother, will not be your sacrifice, because my soul was paid and bought many, many years ago, and it belongs to Allah.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So she ended up with them ruling her death as a suicide, and Brother Philip Muhammad, I reached out to him from March number 7 in New York, and he came down and did a live interview with me at the local community television station. And he sent me a copy of it, and we reviewed it, and then we uploaded it on YouTube for the public, and it's called A Death Without a Cause, New Edition. And I did that for the benefit of the young people that's out there that feel that they want to make this rich, quick fix money.
Yes, ma'am.
And get away with it. But this, it's not even a revolving door. It's a door that you go through, and the only way out is death.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And sometimes you don't even make it through the first door.
That's right.
But I want
Isn't
these young people.
Thank you.
I want these young people that's out there, Sister Ava, to watch this video and see this beautiful, talented young woman and where she ended up.
But now, give me the name of it. You said A Death Without a Cause.
A Death Without a Cause.
Yes,
New
ma'am.
Edition.
Okay. New Edition.
And,
okay.
You know, for the young people out there, look at this video. Even though you may not want to see the explicit details, because I left nothing out. I put the evidence pictures in.
Yes, ma'am.
And it had me, Sister Ava, where it feel like, you know, did she really do this to herself? Look how tight the belts are around her ankles. She's got a cast on. And I came to the conclusion that if you say that's the way it is, then that's the way it is. But between myself and Allah and Carmen knows what happened in that motel room on January 19th of 2004.
Yes.
But I'm going to be giving you a copy as soon as the brother send me some copies.
Okay.
And it's amazing. The young people, I'm doing this for our young people that think that they want to get into the music industry, the acting industry. You don't want
to
do that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Miriam. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And my husband said to tell your husband the greetings if he's on the
phone. Oh, I sure will. He's getting a lot of play tonight. He's going to be very excited. Thank you. he's definitely the power behind this throne, that's for sure.
Yeah. He
Thank
said
you.
To let you know. My
okay.
husband said, let you know he did your post when he was in Milwaukee, the outside post.
Oh,
for you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, beloved.
Okay,
assalamualaikum. And Brother Ridgely, Sister Georgina had called. She was asking about, is there a way for people that don't have internet access? Is there a paper form for the petition?
You know, we're going to work on that one.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
we're going
sir.
To work on that.
Okay. Well, so, Sister Georgina, if you're still on, we will definitely work on that. Sister Peggy has been waiting. Sister Peggy, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Minister Ava and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence. I'm calling because at the beginning of the program, you asked a question and you said, the question was, what is the Illuminati doing when the minister is speaking 52 weeks?
Yes, ma'am.
52 weeks in the year. And what they're doing is trying to convince everyone that they do not exist.
Come
and
on.
I, yeah, they try to convince you that they don't exist. You know, you have these television programs about the Masons and all these other so-called secret organizations. And then at the end, they'll tell you, well, there's one called the Illuminati, and they say they're very powerful. But we don't have any evidence of that. So they try to convince
right.
that they are not around. And I have another comment. The sister, I think her name was Sister Ann, mentioned something about Steve Coakley.
Yes, yes.
Do you know today, he died a year ago today?
Oh, my goodness. Today is the anniversary.
Today is his anniversary, April 11th, 2012.
Wow.
I don't know how he died. And that's what happens to a lot of our writers or intelligence.
Thinkers, yes.
Some of our thinkers. Yes. For instance, Bebe Moore Campbell. I know she's deceased, but they say she died of a brain tumor.
I didn't know she died. I've heard her books.
Yes, she died. Bebe Moore Campbell died of a brain tumor. And then
she was young. She had to have been
Yes.
very young. Oh
yes, she was very young. And then you have people like Octavia Butler. She was a black female science fiction writer, one of the few that we know about besides the one that did The Matrix. And then she's gone. She died at the age of 56 or 58 or something. And
now, didn't she sue these people for stealing her work?
Sophia Stewart.
Okay, on The Matrix. Sophia
Stewart
I know
was the
Matrix
one that did
was
that.
Stolen from a black woman.
Right,
yeah.
right, because when you look at The Matrix, you only see The Matrix by itself, and then if you look at the other two, they're by themselves. They're never together anymore.
Yeah, and the next two are deficient. They, you know, they lack
right.
the creativity of the first one. You can tell somebody else did it.
Right. So
you know?
so she did,
yes,
and I'm happy for her. But Octavia Butler, she's the one that wrote the story about the black woman that went back into time and went back into slavery. Yeah, her name. I forgot what the name of that is.
Yeah.
But you're right, and it's not, you know, the messenger said this, there is no such thing as a coincidence.
Right.
You know, and the loss of some of our most prolific thinkers, writers,
mm-hmm.
our artists in the entertainment industry,
mm-hmm.
in the sports industry. Florence Griffith Joyner.
Yes.
You know, at age 36. And, you know, anybody that threatens to be a model of what is best in life tends to go out early. And, again, you know, we're not cult followers. We're just saying what's the truth.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mr. Farrakhan, 79, 80 next month. He's going the other way.
That's
right. And it only behooves us to follow him.
Oh, he's got me on a fruit juice fast. Not he's got me on it like he told me, but I'm like, you know, in a minute I'm going to look, you know, he's old enough to be my father,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be looking like his mother, you know, if things keep.
You can't look like the minister, but you look young.
If
I
don't get on this, how I need to live.
When I first came into the nation back in the 1999, and I remember seeing you in the final call, and you looked the same to me.
Oh, bless
you
your heart.
You look very, yes, ma'am. So anyway, and
flowers
think,
are coming in a gift.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyway.
But thank you,
anyway,
Mr. Peggy. We
would like to know, may I ask a question of
yes, ma'am.
Brother Dr. Richley?
Okay, because I've got one more caller waiting.
Okay, well, then maybe I'll get an email, and I'll ask him later, and I'll let your guest speak. Okay.
Oh, bless
you.
And inshallah,
yes,
call
ma'am.
Back in next week. All right, beloved.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. We have achieved the impossible. We got to all the calls. Brother Michael. Looks like he's in Cincinnati.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes,
we're down
ma'am.
To 3 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to go straight to it.
Yes, sir.
First, when I share with the youth about the death of Malcolm X, I always use the movie Belly with Nas and DMX and how the example of the of DMX at the end showed him getting out by the FBI and then being set up to train in the nation to get to the top to kill the minister. So I always use that movie and tell them that it was a setup. And then my question is why is there so much emphasis, or it seems like there's so much emphasis on the artists, making them the object of the youth's focus as though the artists are Satan? The sister made a comment about how the Illuminati wants, you know, people to think that they don't exist. Whereas it seems as though when I talk to a lot of the youth in the streets, they're looking at these DVDs that are circling around, that are putting it seems like they put the artist on the face of Satan, when, you know what I mean, Satan is a devil maker. He's not, you know, a devil is not Satan. It's not the same thing. So it's like how do we address that, because the topic was really to forget the brother's name that was supposed to be on the show tonight.
Yes, sir.
Right, you know what I'm saying? It's like that's what it seems like, and I just always have trouble with the youth, because it's like, you know, well, you know, that's, you know, Jay-Z is Illuminati, you know, Lil Wayne is Illuminati, when all of our brothers and sisters are victims of the real Satan.
Dr. Ridgely, isn't that the sheep and the shepherd illustration?
That's right.
Hmm?
That's it. The sheep and the evil shepherd. And yes, they do like put a black face on evil and then hide what they're doing behind the scenes. And unfortunately, because we need some crumbs, we wind up being used as a fool and a stool. But trust me, you don't know who the Illuminati is.
Right.
They are so deep in the cave, they may be living underground. But they manipulate events and they manipulate people with their money. So we just, you know, don't. The brother's right. We don't need to be dogging out our own. We need to go and find out who's ruling our own.
That's right. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Michael. And I want to thank the audience for your patience and your participation. The Elevated Team, Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, all of you are just brilliant, and I thank you for everything that you do to make this show possible. We will continue this conversation, and we will talk more on separation and the ultimate goal of becoming one with God. Remember, every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the time and what must be done. Thank you all for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces.